Okay, Dave, if you want to come up. Cool.
Cool. Just give me a second to get my stuff ready. How cool was that, guys? Just while I was, the first thing Jock said to me when he saw me tonight, he's like, "You're brave, Dave." Oh. I was like, "Why, Jock?" He says, no, because you're not wearing jeans. You're actually wearing short pants while you're preaching. So maybe the jean pants anointing is not there, but you know what? We're going to do our best, guys. awesome. Cool. So for those who don't know me, I'm David, and I'm a saint in the house. Hello, guys. Nice to meet some of you, because I already know other people. But anyway, let me start. Amen. I see that hand. Now I've got all the jokes out of the way, and now the ice is broken. There will be some more. Anyway, cool. Let me start. Anyway, as I grew up, right, as a young boy, I loved watching movies. Especially movies with like these big battles in them, like these mega battles, like armies fighting against each other, movies like Braveheart, you know, like Troy. But my favorite movie of all of them was Gladiator, right? Go on. And for me, because it literally starts off with a big battle, and it starts off with the Roman Empire, and they're fighting some of the German tribes people, and the armies are ready, and this one leader is Russell Crowe, and he's a massive name, Maximus Decimus Meridius, and he stands and he's walking, and the legions are all there, like, saluting him, and this is like, this is intense, they're going to battle now, and they're getting ready. And just before this massive battle is about to start, he looks at these guys, and he delivers this killer speech. I almost got a tattoo of the speech, now. I didn't do that, but I'm going to do my best to paraphrase, but he says, "Brothers, in 3 weeks' time, I'll be harvesting my crops. Imagine where you will be, and it'll be so." And then he says, "Hold the line, stand with me, for what we do now in life echoes into eternity." Yes, goosebumps. Guys, if I was there, I would run. I said, "Russell Crowe, let's go. I'll go. I'll fight, guys. You got me." Anyway. So as I'm growing up, loving these movies, there was something inside me as a young boy was like, sure, it'll be great to have a battle to fight. I think there's something inside of each and every one of us. We crave something for a battle, not in a sense a physical one, like I need to punch someone. No, but to fight for something that is bigger than us, right? Because they fight for the glory of Rome, but we as Christians, what do we fight for? It's something bigger than us. And there was this... Yes, amazing, that's the answer, but I'll get there. So as I was growing up, I always had this thing, it's like, Lord, how does the Christian life look? How does this Christian battle look like? What are we fighting? Who are we fighting? What am I supposed to do? About 11 years ago, I was newly saved, 17 years old. Something happened in my family that actually shaped how I saw the battles we face as Christians. So I was 17 years old, and this evening, my dad, a worship leader in the church, came back. As he came back, something was off. He was quite shook up. You could see he was a bit emotional. So he gathered my mother, and he gathered myself, and he sat, and he told us something that happened that night to him. So he was leading worship, standing upstage. La, la, la. He's leading, playing guitar. And instead of, just looking at the empty chairs, he was like, "Hey, here's a good idea. Let me just like turn my back and look at my band members, right? So I can actually coordinate with them. I can speak to them while I'm leading worship." Cool. Great. Good idea. So as he was doing this and they were about halfway into worship, all of a sudden, one of the drummers or the keyboards, they shouted to my dad. His name is Davi. And they shouted, Davi, look out. He's got a knife." My dad doesn't even know what to do. All of a sudden, he just turns around. A About half a meter next to him was a guy with a big knife in his hand. Oh yeah, I needed to warn you guys, I'm going to cry. But there was a guy right next to him with this massive knife in his hand. Half a meter away. My dad, obviously quite perplexed and quite stumped. He doesn't know what's going on. He looks at this guy, and in a split second, this guy just turns away, and he almost gives this, ah, and he runs, and he just throws the knife, and he runs out of the building. My dad, not knowing what had happened, he literally is like, okay, guys, what was that? So they quickly stop and they pray. And they ask my dad, are you okay? Are you okay? He's like, I'm fine. Nothing. I just saw this guy and just ran away. This is really strange. So dad telling the story. And a few days or weeks later, they actually got to chat to this guy. It wasn't a random guy. It was actually someone knew him who was on the band, and they just invited him for the evening. And he was actually sitting behind the sound desk. So he was there the whole evening. They know him. So my dad got the opportunity to go back and asked, you know, what happened. And this guy is kind of, yeah, he's recovering. And he shares his side of the story. So this guy, as I was said, sitting back at the sound desk. Just some context, some years ago, he was actually in America, and while he was studying there, he got involved in the occult, right? So he dabbled in some stuff there, and he actually invited demons inside him to gain more power, you know, to feel more of someone, I guess. And as he was sitting there, and my dad was testing the mic, and he said, test one, two, and he went tsk, tsk. All of a sudden, there was a voice that spoke into that man's mind, and he said, Davi is challenging you. He said, see what he done. He's challenging your manliness. You have to go and defend yourself. You can't let this stand. He's challenging you. He's making a mockery of you. Now he's hearing these voices, and he's wrestling with them. Later, he actually decides, and he goes and he walks into the kitchen to obviously and go and find the biggest knife he can to go and defend himself against whatever, the lies of the devil. So he was in the kitchen for 20 minutes, struggling still. And as he went, and then he obviously came to my dad, and my dad, his back was turned, remember? He didn't see anything. His back was turned. As he went, and he actually went, and he lunged, and he tried to stab my dad. One of the ladies saw him try. He wasn't just standing there. He saw him. And she said it was crazy, because as he went, and he literally tried, his hand turned in his swing. And the blade came, and it's almost as if something just took his hand away. She says it was as if there was a force field around him. My dad could not be harmed. My dad recalling, he said, as he looked and he turned and he saw something in that man's eyes, he said he saw a hate that he's never seen before. Have you guys ever been in an elevator with all those mirrors? And as you look to the side, you see like thousands of yourselves. It goes deep, right? He said it was as if this hate was just layers and layers and layers. Looking back at him, he knew it was not that man. He knew it was something of a darkness inside that man that was staring back into him. As my dad, obviously now very emotional, because, I mean, the Lord protected him, and it's amazing, and praise the Lord. But it's still a reality, something of that reality. Oh, thank you for the water. I'm going to put it back here. Something of that reality just shook in. And I realized, it's not is there battle in Christianity or is there not? The question is actually, how are we standing in that battle? Can we quickly put on Ephesians 6 from 10 to 13, please? Thank you, Ben. Cool. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to what? To stand firm. See, my dad, and as he was sharing, he actually concluded and he said, "My son, you know, I stand up every day and I go have quiet time and I pray for the Lord and I pray his blood over us. I pray that he protects us and I put on the armor of God because I know in and of himself he cannot do it, but he needs to rely on something bigger than himself." And it's not because of this tradition or this thing he does every morning. No, it's because he's declaring that he's putting his strength and faith in the Lord for protection of our family. And it doesn't always come in the physically, but there's a spiritual realm that's constantly speaking to those people. Say, "Ah, he's making a mockery. Oh, go cause division there. Oh, that person is deceived. Oh, lie to him." Speaking to us to take us actually away from the Lord. So I actually want to look at Ephesians 6 verse 10 again, but in the King James Version, please. And I actually want to break it down. Because, okay, cool, David. There's a Christian battle. Oh, amazing. Okay, cool. Here's instructions. But what is Paul actually saying to us? And what does that actually mean to get our strength in the power of his might? Awesome. So it starts off with saying, Paul writes, he's in prison, and he writes to the church of Ephesus, and he says, "Finally." Let's just stop there. Thank you for stopping with me. Finally. What does that mean? So when he says finally, it means in light of all that he has just said in the previous chapters, right? I'm quickly just going to run us through that. So in chapter 1 and 2, 3, Paul's actually speaking to us about the gospel. Hallelujah. The gospel is amazing. And he says, in light of all that God has done for us, he has died, he has saved us, and he has brought us. Brought us as what? Brought us as children into a family. In light of our standing as a child in the God's family. And not only that, I'm not just a child, I'm not just saved, but in light of the plan of the ages that God has for us, in light of his great plan of the ages, and he wants us to be partakers in that. 2 weeks ago, Jock was preaching, and he was preaching about the, not just the survivor, but actually the rescuer as well, right? God has not just called us, I'm saved, but he's called us to be part of that plan as rescuers, to go out, to be equipped, because there's a dying world out there. So in light of that, and now Paul continues, chapters 4 to 6, it says, in light of the plan for Christians to mature and grow up, in light of Christians to conduct themselves in a way worthy. Last week, Marius spoke about
love.
Thank you. He spoke about love and the love we have for one another. And he said that people will know that we are disciples of Jesus by our love for one another, by how we conduct ourselves. Love is something that is observed. It's something in action. So in light of that, in light of us being filled with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, now he says, finally, be strong. Not in all those things, but in what? In the power of his might. Now let's continue. So, and this is the first thing that says. The first thing is be strong in the power of his might. It's not like I was so focused on the armor of God. And I think we hear that so much. It's like, I put on my armor. I'm good. You know, I've got the new Nike armors. The blessed plate of Adidas. I don't know. But anyway, but it's like, I'm good, I'm kitted, you know, Lord's given me all this stuff. But actually, just think of this, right? A quick example. If you take a normal civilian, and just a normal everyday person, a Yanni, sorry for the Yannis here, just a normal person. And you take a Navy SEAL, right? And I have a set of gear, right? I have guns, I have tactical everything, and I give it to both of them. Who's going to be more effective? The Navy SEAL. Right? Why? Because he has strengthened himself through his training. It's the same way as us. We can put all this on, but if there isn't something of a strengthening, how can we operate it or even carry that armor? It'll actually just weigh us down. We become dependent on something else. We become dependent of gifts and not actually of the Father and the strength that we can find in and of himself.
might. I was, so you can actually, you don't have to keep it up, but it's cool. So might, I was like, yo, what is might? I thought of this, I actually just thought of it today, this funny commercial. Have you know Old Spice? You know, it's the deodorant. Have you seen those advertisements of Old Spice? There's this big muscular guy. And this funniest advert, I just have to share this quickly. But it's of this advert, it just starts off like a normal, it looks like a Verimark advert. I don't know. Like this lady, she's vacuuming, and she's cleaning, and all of this power, you just hear this guy, and he's like, power! And he kicks through a brick wall, poof, and he breaks into it, and he just screams, power! And he starts flexing every muscle and going crazy. And then he says, Old Spice is so powerful, it breaks into other people's commercials. It just flexes everything. Anyway. So let's just take this picture of this big guy flexing, right? And if we just look at him, right, and look at his muscles, we'd say, sure, he's quite a mighty guy, right? His might is on display. It is something observed. It's as if that guy has reserved strength, and we can see it. Power is that might being put into action. When he actually uses those big, strong muscles to kick through that brick wall, that's the display of his power. And it's so crazy because it's, in a sense, the same with God. That God, we can look at his power, look at his omnipotence, look at how he's created this world. He has beautifully designed us. He's keeping everything in place. He is strong. He is mighty to save. If we look at his might, and we see actually his power, not only being displayed in and around us, but actually being displayed in and through us, that he wants to use us as vessels. Let us find our strength in him. I quickly want to read us. I want to read us a story. It's in 1 Samuel 30, verse 1 to 6. I'm not going to read it scripture for scripture, but I'm just going to read, in a sense, what it says there. One time, it's about David and his men, right? And they just come back, and they return, and they're returning to the village, to Ziklag, to find it burned down by the Amalekites, and who kidnapped their families and took everything that they had. Crazy. Just imagine, you're fighting this war and you're coming back and literally everything that you know is burned down. Everything that you have is stolen. Your wife, your family kidnapped. You have nothing. And it actually, if you can put it up, and actually in verse 4, let's quickly go to verse 3 and 4. There we go. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire, wives, sons, daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and they wept until they had no more strength left to weep. Right? Like, they literally just cried and they were like so despaired. Now, how crazy is this? Soon after this, David, obviously their leader, the people around him started turning on him. They actually started speaking of stoning him because they just lost everything and this is the guy leading us? What is David to do? What is anyone to do? And it continues. You can go to verse 6, thank you. And it continues, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and their daughters, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. A few verses ago, we just read, he wept until he had no strength left. There was nothing that he could even try to rely on his own strength. And actually, in our weakness is when Christ can actually be the strongest in and through us. Can we put on that 2 Corinthians, please? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong, and then God is strong. And I don't know about you guys, but it takes me sometimes, it's difficult for me to just rely on His strength when it's our nature to rely on our own strength. I mean, we have to provide, we have to do all these things, we have to check things off. You know, even this week, Jock asked me to prep for this preach last week, and I was like, yes, amazing, what a great opportunity. I was like, I rested so well the holiday, I'm feeling rested. Going into this week, I'm ready for work. Yes, Lord, I'm excited, what a great opportunity. And Monday came, and even after work, it was like, great work day. And I was like, no, I was feeling so good, I'm going to go jog. But the wind was howling, guys. It was like, like the sand was this high as well with the wind. Maybe that lie, but and I was jogging on the beach, and I was going, and as I was going against it, you get a bit irritated, right? And I was like, oh, you know, this wind always blows, but I'm not going to let the wind irritate me. Actually, I'm going to irritate the wind. I literally shared it that night as well. I was like, ah, oh, so, and little did I know. Actually, I had a tummy bug that I wasn't aware of. And that evening, my body pushed itself actually to the limit that it had nothing left to defend itself. So the next day and the day after was not my favorite days. And I actually felt so weak. I was like, oh, Lord, you have forsaken me. But that's actually when I got breakthrough in writing this speech. Because I had everything in my head, but I so struggled. But that actually, in the stillness of me, actually, I'm not even less. I don't even feel. But let me go, Lord, what is on your heart? What is on your heart? So, just reflecting back on my dad's story. And how it changed the way that I actually understand these battles. That I am going to feel weak. And it's not up to me or my own strength. My own might, my own power. It's not even up to the things that God has done for me. Oh, I'm a child now, I must be fine. It's actually all just up to His strength and His power. And not just, yeah. And His example even showed me the dependency. Because when we are weak, we need to be dependent on something. When we think we are doing okay, we think we're doing okay, and we don't need to be dependent on something. Prayer is a beautiful depiction of dependence for me. Because prayer for me is actually declaring, I cannot, but I need something bigger. I need to rely on someone bigger. I need to rely on God. And looking back at my dad, going every morning and going to pray, that's for me, that's weakness in a sense in action. And it's beautiful because God's power is perfected in and through that. Why? So that we can stand firm. Can we just put up Ephesians 6 and read from 14 verse the rest, basically? Yeah. How am I looking for time? It's almost, no, it's good. Okay, cool. So here it says, we just stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Just go next. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You can go next. There you go. Praying at all times. Not just in the mornings. At all times. With all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Just go in the next verse. If you have it. I think that's it. That's the end. Thank you. Praying, praying, praying. Let prayer be a declaration of how we are standing in God.